Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob, R8XFT.
Steve Angolan.
Jan Boruta.
Alpha Shard.
Well, what do we call you, though, Adam? Do we call you Puakai? Do we call you Adam? What? You know, can we pronounce it? I know I can pronounce Adam.
He's been waiting for it.
Sorry, I've been waiting for this for so long.
I think it's Puakai.
Or as Kate Grace would say, Pookie.
Oh,
Pookie.
God.
Welcome, everyone, to Modcast 59. I'm Rob, R8XFT, and today I'm joined by...
Jan Boruta.
Steve Angolan.
Superact.
Puakai.
Me and a friend who doesn't really do Civ modding, but he's really actually starting to try. We've just completed this tool that automatically converts all XML to SQL. So it doesn't have that much, you know, functionality other than converting antiquated XML stuff into full-on SQL, beautiful JFD-style stuff. But it makes things look a bit more sleeker as well.
Puakai,
you're... I'm disappointed.
Puakai, your sad devotion to the ancient religion.
No, because I, JFD gives me hell for it, but it's just easier to pick up on. Like, if I'd gone into right at the start and seen a bunch of SQL, I probably would have turned around the other way, but I just like to be able to have it in such a way that new modders can go into my mods and have a look and see, right, okay, that's how that's done, and learn that way, because that's how I learned how to mod.
So, Puakai, Puakai, hacking plant. What is it that sort of taught you to Civ, and who exactly are you, for those people who don't know, which I doubt there's not many people that do?
Well, it was actually mod for another game, Zoo Tycoon, back when I was probably about 10 or 12.
They, Zoo Tycoon? Wow.
Yeah, they imported some models from Civ 4. And then I saw Civ 4 on sale one day. I'm like, oh, that's from that mod. I'll get that, see what it's like, and ended up just playing it frantically and then going to Civ 5 when it came out. Yeah. Early Civ 5, there were a bunch of really cheap mods that sort of had Elizabeth as Queen Victoria and all that. And I came across Ambrox 62's Wonders and decided that they were easy enough as a starting point and just started doing Wonders from there.
Wow, okay. So, and then you met up with Sucratact and you started doing Wonders from there, right?
Yeah, so the first three or so Wonders that I did were using another guy as the icon maker, and he didn't actually have Civ 5, so he was just trying to guess what the icons looked like, and they ended up pretty average in terms of looking like the actual game. At the same time that I was doing the Wonders, Sucratact had just started up, and he was doing amazing Wonders on his own, and I said, oh, how'd you like to come and do the art and I'll do the code and so we can get them done quicker? And he's like, yeah, okay. So, and that just went from there.
So what did you use as the basis of which Wonders to do?
It was just pretty much whatever it felt like. There wasn't really a list. I mean, people would go and suggest Wonders and I'd add them to the list and it ended up being about 40 or 50 Wonders on the list at any one time. And every week, Sucratact would just send me a message with a new icon and just whatever he sent me was what I ended up doing that week.
And so how many Wonders do you reckon you have now?
I think last time I checked, it was about 100.
100 Wonders, wow.
Somewhere around there, it might be 90 or so, but...
That's insane. Have you ever played a game where you play with all of them at once?
Yes, I used to. I haven't done one in a while, though, because I've been too busy doing other stuff. But back before Gods and Kings came out, and I'd had probably about 30 Wonders of my own and all of Vanfox's ones, I played a true start location game as the Inca. And I was building Wonders non-stop since the start of the game until about the Renaissance.
How many of those would be updated to Brave New World, at least Gods and Kings right now? Because I suspect that you've been doing those Wonders since at least 2011, if not earlier.
Yeah, first Wonder was March 2011, but they're all updated to Gods and Kings. And I think most of them are updated to Brave New World. There's just a few, like, ones that use the old order social quality tree or the ones that do trade route bonuses that haven't been updated.
What's the status of the current more wonders? Are you doing more? Are you more focused on updating what you already have?
Well, I've still got a list of probably about 20 in the top that I would like to get down at some point. But no, there are some that I've got art for that I just haven't got around to doing yet. And also some that are part of this secret project that everyone's been going on about that will be released separately at some point. Yeah.
Sounds like a self-help series.
So you're saying that earlier on the focus was whatever art you got, you basically did a wander around that. Now that you've got 100 out, is it sort of more a case of a more logical decision of what you actually need rather than the art?
It's still pretty much the same process. I'm not so much adding new wonders to the list anymore. I've already got that list there in the topic. And
yeah.
It's such a big project, I'd like to just sort of put a cap on it and finish it off at some point, but I don't want to with still having 12, 13 wonders on the list.
So with this secret project, are you going to be integrating some of those wonders into that project?
Yes, I think we've got about 10 or so wonders as part of it, because obviously it is such a big project that when you're adding all new buildings and units and wonders, then obviously it would make more sense to use the wonders that we've already got art for instead of ones that we still need to get more art for. But there's a mix of new and old wonders. We've got, I think, 3 or 4 new ones, with the rest being already done.
So are you allowed to tell us anything more about the secret project thing?
Yeah, it's actually getting a lot closer to completion now. So what it is Mob to Add to the Enlightenment era as a era in the game. It'll either be already released at the time that this is aired or about to be released. We've just got a few pieces of art left. So basically it adds about 10 or 11 new units to the game. It adds a bunch of new extra techs and buildings and wonders. It was sort of jarring from the Renaissance straight into the industrial. And so we've expanded the tech tree a bit. We've changed unit lines around. We've made sure that it all works out and that it fits in reasonably well with the existing game mechanics. There's nothing too outlandish in it.
Upgrade passes. The Enlightenment era actually changed the whole sort of pikeman to anti-tank gun line at all?
We mainly changed the naval line, not the land line.
Oh, okay.
So the pikeman to lancer gets just an upgrade to Ulan before the anti-tank gun. So you have industrial era lancer that was a bit lacking before. We have a new artillery piece. Before artillery, it's a field gun coming out of the cannon. After musketman, there is line infantry. After crossbowman, there is skirmisher.
What's happening with the naval line then?
We added a couple of units. So we split the melee lines and range lines a bit more. Expanded them. Trireme now upgrades to a Karak, a late medieval ship, which in turn upgrades to a Galleon, and a Galleon upgrades to an ironclad. The Caravel isn't upgradable from nothing, but it's upgradable to to an ironclad. So you have to hard build it to explore, but then you can continue on with your line normally. It's same like Privateer that isn't upgradable from anything else, but then goes to Destroyer. And the frigate gets an update to a cruiser before going to a battleship. So you have an extra industrial area unit. Most about fleshing out the melee line.
This should be really fun with all these new units running around as well.
Yeah, it should be good.
We didn't change the pikeman upgrade paths because we thought that while it is a sort of overhaul, we didn't want, especially I didn't want it to make it a super overhaul of everything. Just so when a player is accustomed to a certain style of play, we didn't want to detract from that style of play. Build upon the vanilla gameplay, not change it drastically.
I mean, personally, I never built spearmen because of what they ultimately upgrade to, but I guess, really, I've got it's easy enough to just mod that, isn't it? It's not a
that was what I actually went and did with the Maori, because their unique unit replaces the pikemen, and I didn't want to have to build all these units that then went into the lancer and anti-tank, so I had as part of their abilities that it upgraded to the musketmen instead.
Yeah, I prefer that. That's why I tend to build them swordsmen if I can and upgrade that way.
With more wonders, a lot of the splash screens were just photographs that I'd found online and then put through an oil paint filter. But for the Enlightenment here, we've actually got proper splash screens painted by Jan and a guy on Reddit called The Space Pope. Proper splash screens that look like they're out of the game.
And is that the guy who did the Crystal Palace? Is that the Space Pope guy?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the Space Pope guy, and he's also done one for Torre del Oro. We've got Andrew Hart, or whatever his name is, who does the voiceovers for the Dawn of Man for a lot of mods from Colonius Legacies and Morse and others. And he's actually done recordings for all of the quotes in the game. So all the Wonders have voiceover quotes with backing tracks, and
wow.
The text have voiceovers, and the error entrance has voiceovers.
Yeah, it's really not that often that you see a mod that's so sleekly done that adds a new era or adds a new text in that is so sort of conducive to what the base game sort of provides. You guys are going to be including Civilizations alongside it so people can have like a full-on expansion pack experience?
No Civilizations in the mod itself. We wanted it to sort of be something like Events and Decisions where it stands on its own but other mods can build upon it. Mm. So we are going to be releasing a patch alongside it for updating existing civs to support it.
I mean, at the first glance, I have to say, it looks very much like it'll become as important a part of the game as the Events and Decisions it's out. You know, one of those mods where you couldn't believe playing it without it, if you know what I mean.
We can only hope so.
Yeah, so a lot of the art we've been sort of teasing in the More Civs project, and it's been really fun to see what people think it's from.
We are reintroducing the theatre as a part of great work of writing line.
Yeah.
Most of the great works have two buildings dedicated to them, and there was only the amphitheater for the writing, so to fill in a gap.
One thing I've noticed in this Enlightenment era thing, you have two different buildings, which are the Academy and the Salon. Are those mutually exclusive?
Yeah, same sort of building. What they are is they boost the science and culture output of the city and give a base yield of that yield. You can have either an Academy in the city or a Salon in the city, and
cool.
That means the cities are sort of prioritising into either cultural or scientific.
I mean, in Civ, it's kind of sad that you don't have any sort of either-or decisions, but it's kind of cool that you're bringing those sort of things in, because you don't really have that many mutually exclusive decisions.
Been in development since April last year, so it's due to be released.
More Civs. How did it all start? Because I was co-opted late in 2012, I think.
Indoctrinated?
Yes, and before that, I was only involved with JFD for a half a year. How did you transit from More Wonders to More Civilizations?
I can't quite remember exactly. It started out with Tibet, but I think
it was
more
before
just...
that. Didn't you have, like, a bunch of African civs before that or something?
Oh, yes.
Zambezi.
Zambezi, yeah. But that was working
that.
With Sion, who originally released the Congo, and he had a bunch of art lined up for the Kilwa as well, the Swahili. In East Africa, and because I was able to kind of do XML at that point, I did the code for him, and he did the art for it, and it turned out really well. But, of course, a lot of his art's actually been updated since to be more in line with Civ work. But, no, More Civs itself started out talking to Luigi. That's not how you pronounce the name, but...
Nobody knows.
Started out seeing his South American civs and asking if he wanted to do a leader scene for Tibet, because they're a civ that I've been wanting to do for ages. And he agreed, and Sukhvatath agreed to do the icons, and it just went from there.
Well, what's your role when it comes down to More Civs? What is it that you do?
It depends on who you ask. I mean, if you ask Yan, I'm the evil president dictator. But normally all I do is I work on the designs of it and then code up the base of it and make sure that everything's working well. So I just put together the art and the code, and then I just do the base of it and compile everything and actually do the base of the civs. But, I mean, we've got a drawing board doc that's 100 pages long full of ideas from various people and various stages of development. So, yeah, it's just whatever civ we all think that would look cool and be a good civ to do, we just put on there and all work on them at different points. And then once we have one we like, it moves up the list.
When you're creating a civ, do you have a certain design philosophy? Is there something that a civ must have? Or how do you actually go about creating a civ?
There's not really anything that they need to have. It just depends on the civ. We try to keep it reasonably focused close to the civ. Like the Moogles we made were a builder civ, but also a military one, which is a lot like what they were historically. And I think Oman, which is one of my favourite civs on there, it's got a very strong tie-in across the whole thing, which is something we try to do a fair bit.
It's probably got the best unique ability name just ever. Chain of the Earth.
Yeah, I think that's actually a title of the leader in the Civ.
It was the title of... What was the leader's name? I forget.
Saif bin Sultan.
That's right.
It depends on what Civ, because some of them we design so that everything in it works towards the same specific playstyle. Like Oman, you've got the unique ability which boosts gold with domestic naval routes and boosts conquering ability of naval units, and then the unique unit starts with additional experience because of gold, and the unique building benefits gold and naval conquering as well. So the whole thing ties in with the naval conquering and gold focus. And then on the other hand, you've got civs that don't really have as much of a focus, and it just as a more general civ. We try to do a bit of both all over the show.
Do you definitely have a favourite civ? Just with a bunch of sentimentality linked into it?
Really like Oman, just the way it came out. The Minoans were pretty good to get out as well, just because they'd been sitting there since we first began the topic, and then they finally got released early this year. Just
yeah,
keep,
yeah, it's like post 7 of the topic was a Minoan leader screen or something.
Yeah, and it's like Greece that had been around since then that just kept being put off and put off and put off, and we had more civs come in front of them, and then we finally said, right, no, that's it. These guys have been put off too long. We need to actually release them.
Too right. I thought they were good.
Yeah, they were originally going to be a lead-up to the Greek pack, but then we got distracted from that one, and that's still in limbo.
Really?
Well, we've got a new idea for a lead-up to Greek split, but I don't know if we will do it.
Oh, I'm up to doing it if you want the art.
Yeah.
With this?
You're not getting it that easily.
All right.
Oh, you're not going to tell
them? Well, I'm not going to tell them, unless you want it.
Okay, then. I was going to let you tell them, but you don't want to, so that's all right.
My nipples can only get so erect, someone say something.
Well, I think if you look at the civs that we've already done, and the fact that an awful lot of them start with a single letter, and that might give you some hints as to what it is.
What?
I didn't get anything.
The Illyrians at last.
Oh,
really?
No, yeah.
That's a good idea.
I noticed that the other day, and you look at the list of civs which more civs have put out, and something like 8 or 9 of them start with the letter M. And so I sort of thought, figured that out, and then we're like, right, what other civ starting with M can we actually do?
So it's a civ beginning with N?
Yeah, it's a civ starting with M.
And it's Greek?
Roughly.
Roughly Greek. The Greek split, is that Pergamon having a unique cultural focus? Is that right?
It was more unique than in terms of the pack. I mean, we've got Sparta as a thinly military civ, then Macedon as a golden age military civ, and Athens as a naval science civ, I guess. So we don't really have a culture civ, and given how much Greece contributed to the world sort of culture in the classical world, there should really be something in the pack to represent that. And so we put Pergamon in, which has a unique amphitheater and is another wonder hoarder civ sort of thing. So, and it focuses on purchasing units instead of building them.
Okay.
So it's sort of a more tall culture civ than a wide military civ.
Okay. It's noticeable that the other Pergamon entry that we've had in Civ 5 so far is the Pergamon altar wonder as well. I didn't know whether or not you'd link that in, but I don't think it was one of yours, was it?
No, that was Ambrox. I remember that one.
Yes,
actually. But, yeah, well, one of my original goals was to have some Greek wonders in the pack as well, but Yan quickly shut me down with that idea because it would mean so much more art.
Yes. Understandable.
Well, it can be added after that, or we can make the Pergamon altar as a decision-based wonder, because it won't add that much art to do in the first place.
No, but, I mean, any more art in the minute, and on top of what you've already got to do, is extra, isn't it? So.
Yeah, yeah, and we have, art-wise also, we have a huge backlog of things, so I'm slowly getting back to it and ticking everything off. Slowly, everything will come into place. And Greece is, for me at least, planned after finishing the Enlightenment era and the Egypts.
Fantastic. So where's the Vatican coming in that work stream?
Well, art for the Vatican and for all the civs that were going to be included in into the Renaissance looks was done back in May. So everything is in place. It was the batch of art that, for example, spawned the Byzantium, the Turks, and all the other stuff that came along. It's just waiting for JFD, who is now preoccupied with piety and prestige.
Yes.
Now renamed Sovereignty. I think he plans to get Akhenaten done first, before Innocent.
Right.
To showcase how a civ can benefit from Sovereignty. Recording. recorded for episode 58 with Rob R8XFT, Jan Boruta, Alpha Shard, and Framed Architect.
My favorite mods that I've ever made are the Greatest Cities mod and Militia Defense. And hardly anyone likes those mods, but from my perspective, I think they're fantastic. They do exactly what I want the game to do. I always find it interesting that people like things that I've made that I don't like, and vice versa.
But those appeal to your gameplay style.
Yes.
I would say for me, when I'm creating my mod, I'm creating something that I enjoy playing that I will then share with other people, rather than creating it for other people. Are you of the same ilk?
Oh, of course. I mean, isn't that exactly as it should be? I mean, if you're not enjoying what you're making, then why do it? Well, I suppose you could say, well, I enjoy making mods that a lot of people like, even though I hate it. I enjoy that. But I'm with you, Rob. That's not my philosophy on making mods.
Yeah.
Greatest City is simply a way to display cities based on a ranking system, which has been, as far as I know, in all the previous Civ games.
Mm-hmm.
Open it up and it calculates a score for every city based on their production and science and all the other yields that are in the game. And there's a little reward for being at the top of that list whenever a new era is entered. And it's not an overwhelming reward. It doesn't mean that you're going to win the game or anything like that. But it's just an interesting way to see how other cities are doing. And it's a kind of an incentive, right? Oh, my city's number 3. I can push that up. If I can just get one more wonder, I can push it up to the top.
I really like the ranking. I really like the pop-ups that said, well, in this era, Rome is the best. It was kind of rewarding, kind of heartwarming. That you have the greatest city in the world.
Just a little throwback to previous Civ days, I think.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
Yeah, Civ 5 needs more of a gratification towards the player that, oh, you did something good.
Militia Defense helps the AI. I like mods that help the AI out because the AI is stupid and it's not very good. And what Militia Defense does is it raises a certain number of basically cannon fodder units whenever a civ invades another civ. So as soon as you transgress that cultural border and you're at war with a player, then they'll get a certain number of these defense units. They're not very good, but they do absorb a lot of the first line attack that AIs make on each other and that I make on AIs, which makes it that much harder to actually conquer cities in Civ. And I find conquering cities and actually warmongering is a little too easy for my taste in Civ.
Does it work for city-states or just civilizations?
It's possible to turn it on for city-states and for barbarians, but it's not enabled in the mod as it exists on Steam. It's only for major Civs, yeah.
I played with the mod for a while, and I liked it while it lasted, but it was an earlier version, and the spawn rate of the militias was really big, so they cluttered up a big portion of the map, and I couldn't move anywhere, even with my scouts or missionaries. So I didn't play with the newer versions recently. I might try it again, because I liked it, but at the same time, I'm recently playing with the community patch, and it revs up the AI unit production a bit, so warmongering starts becoming a bit more tedious and harder. So I don't think if it'll be necessary for me. But it's a nice concept. I liked it. And I liked the unit graphics that were always mixed up from various other unique units. Like you had a Lancemeth and next to it was standing a Janissary. Like it was really fun. I liked it.
Yeah, unit graphics. You know, they should be in overalls or something, right, with a pitchfork.
One thing that I've found in the game testing is because I've got a type of gameplay that I enjoy playing, I tend to sort of go with that anyway. I'm not a great warmonger, so I don't tend to go out warmongering, for example. So I create a mod based on partly the way I play, and then when people actually test it, they pick up other things that I wouldn't have even thought of because they play it completely differently to me. Whereas other people, when we were talking about it before, I think Jack was saying that he tries to play his mods that he creates, the Colonial Legacies, in as many different ways as possible and hold back the desire to just start going down his normal track. Which of those do you do when you're testing your mods?
I guess I would say I play the way I play. But I'm a pretty good Civ base game player, and I know how to win the game in many different ways on the highest difficulty levels. So that said, probably I play the game in different ways. I usually come up with a strategy very early on based on the terrain and my neighbors. I would say I tend to go more warmongering because at the highest difficulty levels, you simply can't be a builder civ. You know, you're not going to build wonders. You're just not.
So if there was a mod component which you haven't created at the moment that you'd like to see out there, whether you create it or somebody else does, is there one that you could suggest?
Gosh, not off the top of my head. I always assume that whatever I can think of, somebody's already done it and probably has done it better than I could. I wish I had more time to look at other mods, but I just don't. I prefer to spend what little time I spend on modding on making my things a little bit better. But I assume there's things out there that fix problems or address issues that I haven't even thought of. Don't know. How about you? What are some of the things that you would like to see?
I would like to see a Civil War mod component. A bit like, I don't know if you played the game in Civ 1 all those years ago, as far as I recall, where there was a random thing that could happen to either your Civ or a foreign one, where the Civ was split in two, and half of your cities were now the French Empire.
That was Civ 1.
Yeah, and so they were controlled by somebody else, and you're just left with the cities that are left. I think that might be an interesting idea. It might upset quite a few people if they were playing. Probably that's why people haven't done it. If people are upset by potentially losing a city in Health and Plague, then by losing half of their empire as a random event, I think they'd probably be a bit upset. But I just thought it was a nice idea.
Yeah, it is an interesting concept. I know there was something like that in Civ 4 when you founded cities on a different continent, they could break away and form their own nation.
Or you could release them as colonies.
Right. And I know that there's a Civ 5 mod, a DLL mod, that does exactly that. Putmalk's mod allows you to have new civs come into being. I suspect that would be a DLL mod because there are some technical limitations in bringing new civs into the game after it's already started. That's a hard thing.
I think the way it worked in Civ 1 is if another Civ had been captured and was no longer in the game, then technically I think that Civ took the place of that.
Yep.
So they're revived.
Yeah. So I can imagine that possibly in Civ 5 there'd be a space for a Civ once one had been knocked out of the game, and then that could happen.
Yeah, you can liberate cities in Civ 5, revive the civilizations. So Civ 1, there was a limit because there was one set of colors, 8 colors for the civilizations, and there were 16 civilizations. So
yeah,
2 civilizations were using the same color, so if you couldn't have 2 of the same color in one game.
Well, the same in Civ 2. There were only 7 colors in that, and there were 21 civs, each with 3 colors. So you can only have one of each colour. But what happened was, if, for example, France was blue and so was Germany, so if France got knocked out, then Germany suddenly appeared.
Yeah.
So it's something I did used to like with Civ 1, was the fact you could view your city.
Yes.
And it was just a randomly set out city, but it was just nice that it was unique from the other ones.
Those in Civ 3 looked great, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a devolution, hasn't there, in the city graphics over time. In Civ 3, you had that beautiful screen that would open that would show all your wonders and sort of show you in your proper environment if it was a desert or a lush forest or something. In Civ 4, the city graphics actually became much more interesting as your city grew and added more buildings. I think there was a neat graphic for each of those. And in Civ 5, we get a couple wonders, and those aren't really big enough to see. So, yeah.
The Colosseums and stadiums.
I do miss those graphics. Seeing your city grow and seeing the wonders fill it in and all the different buildings. I remember in Civ 2, it was a very big window that you could see. And I mean, I played a lot of that game, so I remember seeing the few of the Colossus there or the pyramids sitting in there. And it was just really neat seeing that city grow around your world wonders.
Are there any other small component type things that are missing, you think, that should be in the game that need to just change a little bit of the mechanics?
I remember in Civ 4 I was thinking, why can't we spread pigs or corn? I know some people would probably feel that that's too easily used, but I always thought it made sense. I mean, ranchers would dictate where their livestock is and their crops are. I just don't know why they couldn't find a way to balance it in the main game.
Yeah, that would actually be a really cool ability, which is just, you know, build horses or something like that. You can make it a build. You make an improvement. It takes an extremely long time to build it, but it allows you maybe to use your trait bonuses a little bit better if it was a resource-specific trait. And I know there are a lot of those in modded civs. And it would also allow you to take basically infertile land, which is the whole concept behind terraforming, right? To take basically marginal land and turn it into something that's useful. Yeah, you're right. That could be definitely something that could be done.
Or alternatively, the opportunity to swap the yields or do some sort of exchange for yields, a bit like you can convert science into gold, is it, or culture. It'd be nice to be able to convert things like faith into something else that you could then use, or one of the yields.
Yeah, I'd bring back the slider from Civ 4 that you could, you could decide where to spend your gold on or where to focus on something, like you want to get more culture or you want to get more science or faith, or put all your gold investments into production just so you can pump out more units. That would be fun. Like a civilization focus, you choose a focus for an era, for example, or something like that. And in that era, you have increased spending towards that, even in such a rudimentary state, if you could bring such a slider back. It would be all about having more control over your empire.
I'm thinking from the technical side, whenever someone says something that they would like to have in Civ, the first thing I start thinking is, well, is that possible? And by possible, I mean, could I do that? And, well, you know, that's an obvious thing to ask is, well, that's an interesting idea. Is it possible? So I think that actually would be possible. I think you could have, say, for example, three sliders. There's definitely a UI element for that that would be easy to adjust. And you could adjust, say, for example, your tax rate versus your military spending rate versus your domestic spending rate.
Yeah.
And sliding those would be able to change the production capacity in each of your cities for the various production areas. And since production is split into two basic areas, buildings and units, and there are existing Lua methods to change the percentage of production in cities, I think that would actually be technically quite possible.
I wish there was a mod comp to bring back the Civ 2 advisors. The ones we've got a minute.
The military one, yeah. The MC and Colonial Legacies rivalry kind of thing.
There's a rivalry, which has been, we're trying to be building bridges from the middle out again. We started with the Anishinaabe, which was a really nice sort of collaboration between the Colonial Legacies and more civilizations, and that was released by and uploaded by Supertech. So yeah, that's a really fun Civ to design and play as well.
I think we're slowly cooperating more as well with the original Civs. Like, I've been wanting to do a couple as well, but obviously Colonial Legacies came out and announced their Aborigine pack, which I'm really looking forward to.
I'm not sure if we'll be releasing them all at once, like a Polynesia-style thing, but we are definitely working on the Kimberleys, which they have their leader screen done, and they just need icons. They're fully functional at this point of time. Their unique ability and their unique unit actually is really, really fun to play with, and I've been playing around with it for a while. They have this unit called a Tracker, and what it does is it leaves behind a trail of invisible tiles, and if another enemy unit or a foreign unit steps on those tiles, they get tagged as tracked, and you can see what they see for the rest of the game. It's like installing a microchip on everybody else's units. For the rest of the game. It's really hard to do. You just have to keep walking around the enemy units.
You're invading their dreams.
Pretty much. It's the dream time, yo. Yeah, what else do we have? Yeah, we have the Yolnu as well. The Kimberleys are the traders, and the Yolnus would be the tradies. They're the trade hub, pretty much. So they're going to be really fun as well. And then we're going to have the Anangu, which is based around Uluru, based around natural wonders and the dream time. We're basically doing what we did to Canada in terms of Aboriginal civilizations. We've also got a bunch of Aboriginal civilizations coming up for Canada as well.
I said I'm really looking forward to the Aboriginal civs coming up because Australia's been really underrepresented for so long, like Africa, and it's just good to finally get a bit more, fill it up a bit more, so that it's not just full of barbarians and true start location maps.
Just coming back to Africa, because I think more civs will be releasing Nubia relatively soon.
It's a collaboration because Life in the East originally had it on their seven on their list, and it had been one that I'd been wanting to for ages. So I organised that with COF and Regal Man, and we just managed to come to an agreement over it. they're the Civ that would let Egypt build all the wonders and then come in and take it for themselves. They're sort of one that's got a big focus on wonders and military. Conquering a city with a wonder starts a golden age, and for each wonder in the empire, golden ages last 10% longer.
Is there a cap on that?
50%. Designed it with Egypt in mind as the sort of Civ that you're wanting to go in and conquer, just because that's historically what they ended up doing. Their archer unique unit is better against cities, and their unique improvement takes the combat boost from the Moai, because we got rid of that with the Polynesia pack.
The unique improvement is the Royal Pyramid, of course, those tall Nubian pyramids. So what was the consensus of and the decision on the effect? Because I remember it was something else before, like some scaling effect, whichever era.
Yeah, originally we had issues with the design because we'd sorted it all out, and then we went and did Polynesia, and the Moai there that we gave to Rapa Nui was pretty much the same as what we designed for the Royal Pyramids. We needed to go back and change that. So we've ended up just giving it culture and faith fields and the combat boost from the original Moai. So you build the pyramids and then your units fight better all around it. So it is still similar to the Moai, but it's not quite as similar anymore. It doesn't have the adjacent culture bonus, which is the big thing from the Moai.
Yeah, so instead it provides faith on deserts or something like that?
Yeah, it provides a base yield of one culture and one faith, and then an extra culture with archaeology. I think one of the decisions boosts faith for the improvement as well.
And what about the unique unit?
Yeah, the unique unit, it's an archer replacement that begins with siege and moves faster along rivers, so it's nothing too overly unique about the mechanic, but it's just one that uses the existing promotions in such a way that it works well with the Civ's focus.
Is it the Medjay that you've used for that or something like that?
I think we called it Epidemic Archer or something like that, after the deity.
Yeah.
Alright, yeah.
There was an idea to call it the Kushite Archer, but the Epidemic is a catchy name, I think.
Yes.
And it'd be kind of weird to have a Nubian Kushite Archer. It's like the Danish-Norwegian ski infantry kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be good if it was called the Kushite Archer, because then I can make a civilization Dane and get the city-state to gift it to me, so that'll be good. I'll be Kushite Archer. I'll be here all week, guys. I'll be here all week.
Masai are a cattle-stealing civ. The UA is, may God give us cattle. Pastures may be built in neutral or rival territory, claiming the tile it is on upon completion, and plus one culture from pastures. Unique unit is a Moran, which replaces the Sherrit Archer. The Moran is slower, and only has one range, but it doesn't need horses, and it can build pastures and go into rival territory, so...
Oh, wow, that sounds fun.
While you can't send your workers into rival territories, you build pastures, you can build a bunch of Morans and just band all over the map and steal everybody's horses and cows.
Will they be affected by, like, Liberty, for example, which increases worker and construction speed? Because one of my favorite things to do with Eldrum was to go Liberty and just build plantations everywhere at double speed, and with the pyramids as well.
They actually build pastures immediately. Otherwise, they just be standing there because I can't give them an improvement animation.
Okay. It sounds like it could be abusable, though, if you had it just improve it immediately.
I think it's taken over from Omanus, the best name for a UI, though.
May God give us cattle.
Yeah.
A strong contender.
And the Nkang is basically just a sheep for an earlier wall. The UB, Nkang. A sheep wall, because people are not going to be happy you're seeing their cows.
Yeah, that has no check prerequisite.
Oh, nice.
The UA was originally much more OP because it would act like a culture bomb and it would give all the surrounding tiles instead of just the original one. And that would happen in rival territory as well, and so you'd end up with enemy cities having just the tile that they found it on because of all the pastures surrounding it by the Maasai.
Yeah.
So I think that's been there since.
Yeah, I recall COF did a test run with the Maasai and practically boxed every rival civ in on his continent before Devil Era, just running around and claiming all the pastures.
Yeah.
No civ could get a second settler out, so it's been nerfed significantly since then.
Yeah. Outside of your own mods that you've been involved with, which Civ have you liked the most this past year and why?
In the past year?
Yeah, outside the ones that you've been involved in.
That's a tough one. There's so many of them. It's kind of like, you know, when someone asks you what your favourite song is, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
There's quite a lot of it.
But, I mean, for me it's the Zia or Char. should say, that Tomate did.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely fantastic, that one.
Oh, yeah, that's really amazing. Yeah. It'd be mine, but it doesn't fit my taste style. My favorite is the Sioux.
Sioux is very, very fun. I would definitely say it's up there with my favorite sieves. That and the Nazca are probably my favorite sieves that aren't Colonius Legacy sieves, because, hey-o bias, what's happening? Yeah, the Sioux is fantastic. The leader screen, the unique improvement, just everything about it. Every single component is so unique. People kind of put all their eggs in one basket when they design mods. They make it like a very interesting, unique ability, and then everything else is kind of not boring per se, but it's not as interesting as the unique ability. But with the Sioux, every single component of that sieve is utterly unique, and it's just so well crafted.
With the Nazca, you mentioned, actually got glitch or something on Civ Fanatics, because their downloads show it's over 90,000.
I won't be surprised.
There was another one. Tomatakes,
the Corral.
Corral, yeah, they have 30,000 as well on there.
Yeah, so I theorize that this is one lonely guy with a very bad internet connection, and just when the download is going to conclude, the internet stops and he has to download again. So he's been doing it 5,000 times.
Heck, some of my old leaderheads for Civ 3 had thousands of downloads, but I bet they didn't, really. It was my mum downloading it over and over again.
One of the tips I like, I don't think I can tell it because I was involved with so many of them. And outside of art, if I were to choose one, I think it would be the Goths or Kievan Rus by Tomatech, both historically and gameplay-wise. So I think Tomatech owns the party.
So far, it's all Tomatech sims.
What about you, Pukai?
I really don't know. I mean, there's so many other civs that are just so good. Like, all of JFD's ones are always so unique and have the just completely different play styles. Like, the Germans, Bavaria comes in and their wonderful order to rival Egypt and Belgium with their plantation stealing, and I think they're all just so unique that it's really difficult to actually pick one that you like the best, because it just depends on what sort of game you feel like playing at that point.
I'm definitely a big fan of the Buccaneers, because although it started off as pretty much, you know, an April Fool's joke, and also the fandom it spawned for the Battle Royale is just hilarious. They even have their own subreddit. They're the most followed team in all of the Battle Royale, and that's just, you can't help but love it. So it's a really good sieve to boot as well.
Yeah. What happened to April Fool's Day sieves this year? Because last year we had about six or seven of them, and then this year there weren't any at all.
I think they were almost planned, and then it suddenly became too late.
We unfortunately released a sieve on April Fool's, and everyone thought it was an April Fool's sieve, but it was an actual sieve. And the thing is, they got buried on the workshop because of Oz was buried under a whole bunch of other really bad, just really badly made April Fool's sieves. And we're just like, yeah, we probably should have released, like, the Lion King sieve instead, but we were just excited about the Zapotec.
Calling today in North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at thepolycast@gmail.com. For more information on Modcast, our sibling shows Podcast, Revcast, Tivcast and Turncast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
You think we'll get another sort of boost for Civ 5 shortly, because it seems to have gone quiet a little bit just lately.
Yes.
And there seems to be a lot of little projects that are bubbling under at the moment that are soon to be released maybe in a month or a couple of months. Do you think that maybe come September, October, going on to Christmas this year, we're going to see another boost for Civ 5?
Oh, hopefully. I mean, maybe not on the Colonius Legacy side, because Near Eye is expecting a child to later, I think, this month. There goes our productivity, so
there'll be another work for them. Another one.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll train them up.
Train them up. He'll be ready for
this. We'll start him off with Zoo Tycoon. And <we're working.
laughs> That's a proven route.
Start him off with icons.
Like a lot of the ones I've been working on, it just depends on what art I can get for it. So it really depends on Yan and Socrates.
Yeah, it's really depressing because a lot of Colonia's legacy civs, we have them completely coded, we just have no art, and a lot of them we have complete art, but just no coding, so...
Yeah, yeah, it's similar over here as well.
It makes you just want to listen to that Gary Jules rendition of Mad World, really.
Yeah, I think what happens, though, we're in some respects victims of our own success in that respect, and that people want a certain standard now, so just adding a bit of art that will do is no longer good enough. People want to wait for somebody to produce art that's the quality of Socrates and Yan rather than just putting anything out. And like,
really bloody high when they set the bar so high.
Yeah, I mean, people have asked me to release some of the civs from Anno Domini as independent civs, and maybe when Civ came out I would have done that, but I can't anymore because I don't have time to make it compatible with all the different things we've got to make it compatible with. And then it just looked like it's, you know, he's not bothered.
We can ask ourselves, why did we mod so much?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's all good. There's been a lot of really useful things, particularly the events and decisions, I think, is, for me, the most important one. But, you know, yeah. You've got Azor's maps, labels, and you've got the Bingles, what is it, Civ 4 traits, and all the rest of it.
And then we're going to have the Enlightenment era, so...
That's not too much of an issue, though. Like, I was going through the Civs I worked on, and you only really need to worry about it if you've actually got a Civ that fits in that sort of area. And it was more JFD's Civs that needed updating more than anything, because I think only Mexico out of more Civs was actually close enough to warrant updating it.
I think we have, like, what, the Boas, Philippines, Mexico, all those sort of colonial era Civs might need to have some updating with them.
Yeah.
Canada, actually, as well.
So I hope you've all enjoyed Modcast 59. That's goodbye from me, Rob, R8XFT.
From Jan Borota.
From me, T. Pangolin.
Me, Sukudax.
And Borota. I tend to stick to XQL. XQL.
It's really underground, guys.
Best of both worlds.
What we're doing is making a civilization builder. Because you know when you first go and want to make a civilization, you're just like, oh, why isn't there a tool? But you just press a couple of buttons and it just poops out a civilization. Well, we're creating that.
Fantastic. So what are we going to talk about today then, first?
To come closer, I think we've been spending the last 20 minutes actually deciding what it is we're going to talk
about. Yeah, I know that.
Do you reckon the listeners actually know that we've figured this out a bit ahead of time?
I'm just looking to see what icons I could steal later.
Oh, that one's turning into a transformer.
Whoa. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Someone just went through a washing machine.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to see if it was me. It doesn't look like it, though.
Unfortunately, because the Enlightenment era and Nubia and Egypt, the Greece has to wait for a bit until I get to that.
A single tear. Three podcast members' cheeks.
So who is it, the Nubia leader?
Pie, how do you pronounce it?
Pie.
Pie.
Pie. Pie. Pie.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. It's Pukai without the oo.
Yeah. Okay, that just confuses me. I'm trying to visualize that in my head.
What? I told you it would be a linguistic session now. Well, Catherine and horse loving implies a whole lot of things, but let's not touch on this.
I think you just did, so.
Well, there were allegations that she did love some horses, so, yeah.
You just said, we're not going to touch it, and you need to touch it, in many different places.
Well, it's history, it's still funny.
Could you just go back to the Greek split then for a moment? You mentioned earlier. I'm halfway in there.
Yeah. He's clicking really loudly. And then it stopped.
Sure, yeah.
Mission accomplished.
The design isn't different from the one. With it, Could you microphone interrupts all the time. We can't hear anything.
Conquest equals unique unit or unique building. If you go to conquer another city, you can basically build their unique building or their unique unit. But you can only build it out of that city.
Oh, yeah, no, that, because I remember that was one of my favourite things about Rise of Mankind for Civ 4 is that you could do that with conquered cities.
So Kritak is going somewhere.
My internet is bad. My internet is horrible.
Alright, I need to take a brief break. I'll be back in a minute. So you...
Translation needs to pay.
Yes, exactly. It's so hot in here. I need to drink.
Have we got enough to make an actual episode?
Oh, God. Yeah, we do. We like, Dan will edit something down, and he's got some previously unused content as well.
So I'll say there's only 3 hours worth here. We can get about, 30, 40 minutes out of it?
Yeah.
This is the only cast where the outtakes are more than the actual intakes. The outtakes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it'll be a bit
distracting. Out of about 3 modcasts.
Okay, could you repeat it just for clarity?
Okay,
you go first.
And PowerPoint. So it's good... That's goodbye from me, R.A. Texas T.
From Alberta.
Well, just stop it.
Record date, August 8th, 2015.
Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.